When I was 21 years old, I would be home alone at my parents' house a lot. We lived on a little pond which was directly in our backyard. On the other side of the pond was a little town park. Our neighbors were a bit spaced out. It was a pretty upscale, expensive block compared to the rest of the town, so the properties were big. I'm fully moved out now, but this was back when I was in college. My parents make a lot of money, and we have multiple homes, so often I was home alone. It was a random night in the summertime. I was off from school, so I can't remember if it was the weekend or a weekday, but odds are since I was home, it was a random weekday. I was in the back sunroom watching a show. That was my favorite room in the house in the summer because it was the most cozy and had the best breeze with all the windows open. I was right on the corner of the couch closest to the corner window when I heard splashing from outside, like in the pond. It could have been a goose or a duck. Sometimes they'd fight in the water and make a bunch of splashing sounds, so at first I ignored it. But as it persisted, I decided to lower the volume on the TV and listen. I put my ear up to the window even, and I heard consistent splashing sounds, way too heavy to be from a duck or goose. It sounded like they were splashes from a person. I opened the door in the sunroom and stepped outside to the deck. I looked out to the pitch darkness of the backyard. I now heard a man's humming along with the splashes. Someone was definitely swimming in the water. They were trespassing. Each house on the pond owned a specific chunk of the pond. I stepped inside for a second to flick on the lights to the backyard deck. As I did this, just a bit of the pond was exposed, and the splashes and humming stopped. Whoever it was clearly saw me. I wondered if it was one of the neighbors going for a swim or something, which also just seemed weird because no one really swam in the pond ever. But honestly, whether it was or wasn't a neighbor, I wasn't going to confront whoever it was. I stepped back inside and turned off the lights, of course locking the door as well. I texted my brother, who was away at college, about it. He didn't answer right away. I was trying not to creep myself out over it, but watching TV after this was kind of hard. I couldn't focus on the show. I looked out the window, but all I could see outside was darkness. I still had the TV on in the background, not realizing how revealing the light from the TV would be outside. And then, I thought I heard something on the deck. I hurried to find the remote and turn off the TV. And as the room went black and silent, it took me a few seconds to adjust and realize that there was the sound of someone's heavy breathing right outside one of the many windows in the room. I instantly laid down flat on the couch to try and hide myself, and after a short moment of silence, a deep voice from outside the window said, "I see you." My heart dropped into my stomach. I couldn't decide in the moment whether to speak or keep hiding, so I just blurted out, "Paul, is that you?" Paul was the name of one of our neighbors. I said this, clinging on to the hope that maybe it was him, and he was just messing with me. But the man outside didn't respond to this. I just heard footsteps walking away. As the barefoot-sounding footsteps faded to silence, I still laid flat on the couch, too afraid to move. I laid for a few minutes, before the thought to go check that all the doors were locked came to mind. I exploded off the couch and ran straight for the front door. It was locked, as was the side entrance door. After a little while longer and texting my entire family about what was going on, my dad told me to turn the backyard lights on and check if anyone was still out there. He basically told me to be the man of the house and protect it. So I listened and checked the back deck through the window. It was clear. I brought a big knife outside with me onto the deck, and I looked down. There were wet footprints that had half dried by then, but I could tell that they were barefoot footprints. I followed the trail footprints around to the side part of the deck, and what I saw was nightmare fuel. The top part of someone's head, namely their eyes and forehead, was peering just over the edge of the deck from the ground below, looking at me as if he heard me coming and was waiting. As we made eye contact, he turned away, and by now I was ready to call 911. I did so before even telling my parents. I locked myself inside, waiting for them, and when they came, I felt instantly better. They asked if our family had any enemies or people who don't like us, or if we have any problem neighbors. Questions like this. They did do a quick sweep of the property and then left. I decided to shut every window that night and run the air conditioning just for added safety. When I awoke the next morning, I was just delighted to see sunlight. I don't believe that man ever returned to our house, and we still don't know who it could have been. I have a dog who I take for a walk 3 times a day, first in the morning, then in the afternoon, and finally at night. I take him on the same route every time, which is through our driveway exit, which leads to a cul-de-sac parking lot for the condominium complex we live in. This will make sense soon as to why I'm telling you this. On the night walk, I always go somewhat late. I'm not sure why, but it's been a habit ever since I've had him, and it's never been a problem for us. Until one night, I begin our final walk of the day and go our usual route. I have a flashlight with me as there are no lights at the parking lot, and I'm listening to music with only one AirPod as I feel it would be for the best just in case I heard something unusual. And I did. As I'm approaching the parking lot, I was hearing something. A voice of some kind that was up ahead of me, but I was completely zoned out in my own world of music as it was happening. But then my mind finally caught up and I stopped. I took the AirPod out and stood still to listen, just to see if I was only hearing things. And then it happened again, a voice that spoke ahead of me, but I couldn't see anyone, so I did the stupid thing and continued to carefully walk forward because I thought it was all in my head. But something didn't feel right about it. I stopped again after a few feet, right next to where all of the cars were parked, and I had my flashlight pointed everywhere in front of me. I stayed listening, and the creepiest thing that has ever happened to me yet was hearing a muffled voice of what sounded like a kid say the word, "Help." My heart dropped so fast I couldn't move my legs. I frantically pointed my flashlight everywhere to see where it was coming from. I was sure it was coming from the cars, but I was completely thrown off by this. But there wasn't a kid in sight, or anyone nearby. It was just me and my dog, who didn't seem to notice anything as he was just sniffing some bushes nearby. And then I heard it again. The word "help" was spoken 3 more times, and it was coming from my left side where the cars were parked. It made me panic even more. I didn't know what to think of it, and I knew I wasn't imagining this when I saw my dog's ears perked up, and he was looking in the same direction I was facing after it happened. And that's when it hit me about how incredibly eerie all of this was. After hearing it multiple times, I realized the kid's voice didn't sound entirely like a kid. I don't know how to explain it, but it was like the mix of an adult and a child at the same time. And each time they called for help, not only was the voice always muffled, but it was spoken in a more generic statement as opposed to a cry for actual help every time. And I mean that literally. There was absolutely no change in the tone, inflection, sound, or anything of sorts. My dog and I ran straight home afterwards, and I tried to explain to my mom what happened. She was puzzled herself about what it could have been, and I suggested we call the cops on the off chance that there was actually someone in need of help, but she didn't think it was necessary. So many questions were conjuring up in my head. Why was the voice muffled? Was there someone in the car that I couldn't see? Or was it something darker waiting for me to move closer? I don't like to think too much about it, but whatever it was, it still makes me feel extremely disturbed to this day. This picture is where I had stopped and taken my AirPods out to listen, and I heard it up ahead on the left. This is where I had gotten closer and heard it on my left side. I'm aware that there's a condo complex on the right side, which some may think the noise was coming from, but it was in this direction facing the cars where my dog and I heard it, and you could see from this point of view that there's nothing to really indicate a noise coming from somewhere else. Also, at the time this happened, the cars that were parked were trucks and SUV types, so they were a lot larger and covering more space, thus making it harder to see from where I was standing. I never figured this out. What I'm about to tell you is the reason why my parents moved out of a house that was in the family for 3 generations. I've struggled with depression most of my life. It's hard for me to shake the feeling of being useless. I'm doing much better now, but when I was a kid, it was horrible. Because of that, I spent a lot of time alone in my room. My house was nestled in a very woodsy area. There were trees on 3 sides of it and a forest separating it from any neighbors. My room was pretty big for a bedroom. It was in the back corner of the house, so the windows on 2 walls faced the woods. It was honestly pretty scary for a kid my age. It didn't help that I was also scared of the dark. Things started happening when I was around 10 or so. I was in the 5th grade, and I was at the age where it wasn't acceptable to sleep in my parents' bed after a nightmare, but I was still accused of having an active imagination. The first thing I noticed was my nightlight. It had different color settings, so if I wanted, I could change the LED around. I liked keeping it on red, which is what I fell asleep to most nights. One night, though, I woke up randomly in the middle of the night, which was unusual for me. I was really tired and fell back asleep in under a minute, but before I did, I noticed that my nightlight was a different color than the red I always left on. I didn't think much of it until about a week later. One morning, I woke up and realized my nightlight was once again not set to red like it always was. I asked my parents why they were messing with my nightlight, but they were confused and told me they didn't know what I was talking about. I explained what had happened to them, and they told me that the thing had always been glitchy. They knew best, so I accepted that answer for a while. At least until one morning, after waking up to see my nightlight unplugged completely. It was just sitting there on the floor. Once again, my parents dismissed my concern and told me my brain should be focused on school. My dad said I was getting too old for a nightlight anyway. A few days later, my nightlight was missing completely. It had seemingly evaporated out of existence. Now I knew my parents were lying to me. They probably thought I should have outgrown the nightlight by then and took matters into their own hands. This incident caused a massive fight between them and I since both of us accused the other of hiding it, and neither of us was budging. I couldn't believe my parents would blatantly lie to me about something like this, but there was nothing I could do. After that, things went back to normal for a week. That didn't last long, though. 3 nights in a row, I woke up randomly in the middle of the night. Each time, I had no idea what was waking me up. After it happened a fourth time in a row, I told my parents. They told me that I was going through puberty, and that changes to my body are natural. The next time it happened, I stayed awake instead of falling back asleep. A few minutes after I woke up, I heard faint rustling noises from my closet. My parents didn't believe me. My dad even checked my closet, and there was nothing in there besides old toys and posters. The next 4 days remained the most traumatizing nights I've ever experienced in my life. I'd been woken up only to hear rustling in my closet. It was torture. I couldn't take it anymore. I begged my parents to believe me, and my dad got angry. He dragged me to my closet to prove there was nothing in there. He started throwing toys around my room, clearing the closet bit by bit, yelling at me the whole time. That is, until he pulled one of the posters off the wall. My mother and father stared in horror at the massive hole in the wall the posters had concealed. My mom started screaming, and my dad pulled out a flashlight. The hole was way too deep to see where it led, so my dad ran outside and began inspecting the outside of the house. There was a tiny hole in the dirt at the base of the house, and a little digging revealed that it was more than a divot. There was literally a passageway from the woods to my room. My mom and I were out of the house that night to my aunt's house. We moved out shortly after this. I stayed at my aunt's house until we did. I don't like thinking about this experience, but I'm gonna have to face it eventually. My parents also refused to talk about this incident, and I think it's partly because they feel some blame for not taking me seriously. It's chilling to think that there was a stranger in my room every night for over a month. I have no idea what they wanted, and will probably never know. If your kids come to you with something that sounds abnormal, believe them. My name is Leo. To be completely honest with you, I'm a little lost in life right now. I won't get into it too much, but all you need to know is that my family situation is horrible. For the past 3 years, I've tried to stay as far away from home as possible. My close friends from high school have been changing in ways I don't like, and I feel like my hometown has nothing to offer me anymore. I'm about to be a senior in college, and to be completely honest, I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to do with my life after that. Enough with the sob story, though. I was in Berlin last year for whatever reason, probably searching for a sense of place or trying to find a direction in life. I remember the name of the bar I was in, Reduja. I was there alone, nothing I'm not used to. I was getting ready to leave when I felt around my pocket and realized my apartment keys were missing. Just my luck. I stumbled out of the bar and began walking toward my apartment anyway. The whole thing was locked up, there was no way I was getting in there. And it was way too late at night to get a replacement set. I'm not sure what most people would do in a situation like this, but my first thought was to start looking for a place to sleep. As if my luck wasn't bad enough, it started raining. Eventually, I decided to sleep under a nearby bridge. I didn't even know where I was, but I was out of the rain and safe, so I was happy. As I was drifting off, I began picking up on some faint voices coming from across the river. I sat back up and saw what looked like 5 men standing on the opposite side of the river along with a little boat that was tied off. They didn't seem to notice me. It took me less than a minute to realize what I was watching. There was an honest-to-God drug dealer or something going down right in front of me. My German isn't great, so I wasn't really able to make out what they were saying, but several briefcases and duffel bags were exchanging hands, so I filled in the blanks myself. I thought about finding a new spot, but I didn't want to draw attention to myself by moving. I figured I'd just wait for this to be over, then leave. All of a sudden, one of the men yelled something aggressively in German and pointed a gun at one of the other men. There was a brief moment of silence before the other guy put his hands up and began talking really quickly. It looked like he was being set up. The other men stripped the man at gunpoint of his clothing and started confiscating his belongings. I didn't feel safe there anymore and got up slowly to move. As I did, I heard one of the men shout what roughly translates to, "There's someone there." I started running, not even turning to look at them. They shouted more things at me, but the only words I was able to understand were, "Don't shoot." I ran until I threw up and nearly passed out due to drunken exhaustion. There was no way they'd be able to catch me, but they could have easily killed me. Sometimes I still think about how I could have lost my life that night if those men had decided to fire at me. Sometimes I feel like I'm fated to run forever. It was a normal Friday afternoon at my high school. I was walking down a hallway with my friend Emma as she talked about God knows what. I was just trying to get through the day because I honestly had a lot to deal with at home as well as at school, being that my foster parents weren't the nicest people, to say the least. As we walked past the lunchroom, I suddenly had to use the bathroom. I asked Emma if she had to go. She said no and that she would wait outside for me. I went into the bathroom and immediately noticed no one else was in there. I thought to myself, that was weird, because out of the multiple bathrooms in the school, this one was always packed at any given time. I shrugged it off and went into a stall, and a few seconds after getting in the stall and sitting down, I heard the bathroom entrance door open and shut abruptly and someone entering the bathroom, but I didn't hear them move after entering. I didn't think anything of this. It wasn't really anything out of the ordinary. Maybe it was someone hiding from an admin. I went about my business. I stood up to button my jeans and read the writing on the bathroom wall. It was a bunch of random quotes and rants about teachers. Then I heard the door open again, and I assumed whoever was in here had left. I came out of the stall, and as I left the bathroom, Emma was looking at me with a weird face, almost like a "what the hell did I just see" face. I asked her what was up, and she asked me, "Who was that standing right behind you in the bathroom stall?" I got chills. I told her no one was in the stall with me and to stop fucking with me. She promised me she wasn't. She told me she actually came in seconds before I came out because she realized she did need to go. But then she saw someone else in the stall, standing with their shoes touching the back of mine. That's how close they were behind me in the stall. And she said she left immediately, not wanting to witness whatever was going on. I reiterated again I was the only one in the stall. However, I had heard someone come in, but I never heard them use the bathroom, and I had assumed they were hiding from an admin. That's when she told me no one went near the door until she came in seconds before I came out. I didn't believe in the paranormal, but this made my stomach sink. I found an admin and told her about it, and she pretty much tried to assure me that it didn't happen, that Emma was probably just messing with me. But Emma was never one to take things seriously or be serious in general, so when she looked me in the eyes with a serious face and told me word for word what she saw, I felt like it actually happened. And something really was in there with me, along with the fact that I heard the bathroom door open and close twice. I'm 18 now, and I haven't forgotten it since. This happened long ago when I was renting a small house in the town that I got my first real big girl job at. It was a small one-floor house with 2 bedrooms, 1 bathroom, and just enough living space for myself and occasionally hosting some people. I had been living there for a few weeks already. All was fine. The landlord, who I'll just call Michelle, was really friendly and understanding. I think she rented to me because she didn't want a male renting out her house. I'll skip unnecessary details and get right to the point. Something very weird started happening a few weeks into living there. One regular work night, I got a knock at the door. I went to the other side and said, "Who is it?" and no one responded. I didn't open it. No one should be knocking on my door late at night. It was early the next morning. I had finished getting ready for work and was about to leave. I opened my front door and saw a big post-it note taped to the storm door. It said, "Hello, beautiful." I right away remembered the knocks on the door from last night. It was no doubt the same person, but the big question was, who could it be? I crumpled it out of disgust and threw it in the trash, hoping and assuming it would be a one-and-done thing. It was that night that I got another knock at the door. This time a little earlier, while I was cooking dinner. I went over to the door, this time not saying anything, just listening. There was no peephole or glass to look through to the other side. I had no way of seeing who was there without opening the door, and that wasn't going to happen, as the storm door didn't lock. But this was the second night in a row, and now I was realizing this was some kind of stalker situation. I called my mom and dad to ask for advice, and really, they didn't even know what to say. My dad, who was a retired police officer, said that if I called the cops, they wouldn't really be of any help unless they were catching the person in the act. My dad advised me to not go outside late at night for a while, don't answer the door, and if it persists, that he'd come to town and spend a few days with me. So that was the advice I followed. The next morning, the first thing I did was check the storm door for another note, and part of me died inside when I saw another note stuck to the glass. This one said, "I like to watch you." I took a picture of it with my phone and sent it to not only my family, but Michelle as well. I asked Michelle if she had any kinds of issues with certain men or any stalkers. She acted appalled and shocked when I sent her a picture of the note and told her about the knocks. She assured me that she didn't have any stalkers and that she was in a long-term relationship. Still, I wasn't entirely convinced. I left a note on the door after work that day, saying, "If you're looking for Michelle, she does not live here. She only rents this house out. If you continue to come here, I will be reporting this to the police." Doing this gave me a level of comfort, actually. I thought this would end things. That night, every waking minute was spent with anxiety, worrying about hearing knocks at the door again. To my relief, there were none tonight. I went to sleep in relative peace, thinking my note worked. The next morning, I opened the door and removed my note from the glass, but then realized it wasn't my note. It was a new note, and it said, "I'm not looking for Michelle, I'm looking for you." And then it said my name, followed with, "I like watching you," like it said in the previous note. I sent it to my dad right away. I felt seriously ill. My dad packed a bag and drove up first thing. He was at my house by the time I got home from work. And work that day was rough because I couldn't think of anything except for this horrific situation. I even wondered if someone in my office could have been doing this, like this creepy guy Fernando. My dad and I waited to call the police together until later in the night when we figured whoever was doing this may be hiding out there already. We wanted them to see the police presence. We spoke with an officer outside. My dad said it must have been a busy night since they only sent one. My dad, being a retired police officer, obviously didn't hurt in this whole situation. After the officer left with his report, my dad stayed out on the front stoop for hours, even after I went to sleep. Obviously, the person didn't return that night, and I moved out once I was able to pack all my things. Michelle was completely understanding. Thankfully, whoever was stalking me at that house didn't follow me to my new place, likely eliminating the possibility that it was a coworker. So I will likely never know who it was. I'll be honest with you, I've probably spent more time chasing women than I'd like to admit. I've had to tone it down a lot since college, partly because of what I'm about to tell you. I went to school in California, and while I haven't been back in a while, when I was there, the culture was very open. And when I say open, I mean sexual. This honestly could have been true for other colleges in other states at the time, but I really wouldn't know. It was my sophomore year, and I had just finished pledging the fraternity Pike. About halfway through the semester, though, I was getting sick of only talking to sorority girls that seemed to know half the guys in every frat. It was honestly a little gross, and I started developing a fear that every girl I was interested in had been with several people I personally knew. I tried my luck and created a Tinder profile. It wasn't long before I matched with someone whose interests seemed to match mine. We started talking, and things were going well. After a few days, we made plans to meet up at a local college bar called Tap House on a Saturday night. This was actually my favorite bar in the area because it had pool tables and I had been clearing racks since I was 10 years old. I remember getting there a little early so I could secure a table and warm my muscles up a bit. An hour passed though, and I came to terms with the fact that I had probably been stood up. I was trying to decide whether I should salvage the night or just go home and play online chess when I got a notification. To my surprise, it was Yamel, the girl I was waiting on, telling me she had just arrived. I greeted her, and she apologized for being late. We got some drinks, played some pool, and got to know each other. She was Latina and a heavy drinker, so I got plastered just trying to keep up. At one point, she asked for my Instagram, which I gave to her. 10 seconds later, I found myself staring at a collection of explicit photos she had just sent me. I was confused, but in my drunken state, I wasn't going to complain. Before I could even respond, she told me, "Your turn," which I figured could only mean one thing. Honestly, if I hadn't been so drunk, I probably would have questioned why we were sending pictures to each other when we were literally 5 feet apart, but I didn't have the foresight. I complied with her request. We laughed about the whole thing, and that was that. A few hours later, things at the bar were starting to wind down. I was planning on inviting her to my place, but she beat me to it, asking if I could spend the night at hers. I agreed, and we left the bar. I couldn't even walk in a straight line. It was honestly embarrassing. We Ubered to her apartment, which was actually in Oakland, something I hadn't realized before. Honestly, red flags should have been going off in my brain the moment we crossed into Oakland. She unlocked the door of her apartment and stepped aside so I could go first. I took a few steps inside and heard the door shut behind me. It was pitch black in there. As I was turning around to ask her to flip some lights on, the room lit up. To my horror, I wasn't facing a harmless 5'2" girl anymore. Instead, two massive bald dudes with tank tops were standing in front of the door with their hands clasped. I turned around, and there was another white bald dude in front of me. I wish I could tell you more about the room I was in, but it was honestly difficult for me to recall small details of that night. I couldn't fight or flee, so I just froze. The guy in front of me began telling me my own name, birthday, and age. He then went on to say that the girl I had just gone out with was 17, meaning I had received and sent explicit pictures to a minor. He then suggested that I do what I was told, which I did. The two guys behind me confiscated my phone, wallet, and keys, all of which I gave up without a fight. I asked the guy in front of me what he wanted, and he basically told me that he was a major distributor of illicit substances in Northern California. He told me that I'd be outed as a pedophile if I didn't distribute his product to my fraternity and university. I wish I could remember more specifics. The two men behind me then gave me a piece of paper and told me to write down my address, followed by a list of names and numbers for as many students as I knew. I told them that I'd need my phone to complete the list, so one of them held it firmly in front of me and let me scroll through. All three of them were hovering over me now, knowing I was basically checkmated. I don't know what compelled me to do it, but the literal second I saw a chance, I ran. I was too drunk to think about the consequences of those pictures on my phone. I narrowly escaped out the door I had entered from and ran as fast as I possibly could. It's not like I was safe though. I was still smack dab in one of the most dangerous places in America. Eventually, I found a nice looking house and begged them to open up. I pleaded with them to let me use their phone and call 911. And then I told the police everything. But of course, I didn't remember the address of that girl's apartment. An officer picked me up and took down a report before asking me if I would be okay leading them back to that apartment. I was actually able to retrace the way I had run, and I waited in one of the squad cars as the police barged in. After a few minutes, an officer told me that the place was completely deserted, and there were not any signs that people had even been there. In the following weeks, the police actually took my report seriously and launched a full-scale investigation. They concluded that it was probably gang-related, but were never able to arrest anyone. That was years ago. I bet this incident has been swept under the rug of Oakland's rampant crime and drug-related activity. In all honesty, what happened to me all those years ago is probably nowhere near the top of the list when it comes to that godforsaken place. I haven't used a dating app since. I've been smoking cigarettes every day for years. Before you judge me, let me just say that I recently started seeing a therapist for my nicotine addiction. Unfortunately, it hasn't helped much. The only thing worse than my nicotine addiction is my sleep schedule. I don't know what it is. I find myself staying up hours past midnight and rarely get out of bed before noon. While I'm trying to fix these parts of my life, they're extremely relevant to what I'm about to tell you. It began a few months ago. I was standing on my balcony, like I do most nights, smoking a cigarette. I live in a really secluded neighborhood. It's not like the houses around here are right next to each other. Despite this, I have a neighbor whose fence I can see over if I'm standing on my balcony. I'm not nosy or anything, but this particular night, I was looking into his yard. I had never met the guy, but I assumed he lived alone since there was only ever a navy blue BMW parked in his driveway. But not this night, though. There was a black van I'd never seen before sitting in front of his house. I didn't make anything of it, just noting the coincidence to myself. The next night, though, I made it a point to pay attention to his yard, and the same black van was parked there again. I didn't assume something sinister was going on. I was more intrigued than anything. The following morning, I went up to my balcony and looked into his yard. The van was gone. For the remainder of the week, I made a game out of observing the van at night, theorizing its purpose. I said I wasn't nosy, but I sure am obsessive. It's actually the main reason most of my friends drifted out of my life. I wasn't going to do more than observe, though. It wasn't my business or place to poke around further. That is, until one night, when I saw something that completely changed my perspective of the situation. I was up later than usual. It was maybe 5 in the morning. The van was there, as it had been the past several nights. I was smoking my last cigarette when my neighbor actually walked outside, something I hadn't seen yet. I watched as he made his way to the van, carrying what appeared to be a long black bag. It almost looked like a set of golf clubs, only much heavier. After opening the van's sliding door, he delicately placed the bag inside. He promptly got in the driver's seat and sped off. I was dumbfounded. I had absolutely no idea what he could have been carrying. I was exhausted, though, so I figured I'd think about it more the next morning. The next day, I decided that I'd go out on my balcony a little earlier and wait for the van to arrive at his house. I brought my laptop up there so I could get some work done and wait. It was around 10 p.m., and the van wasn't in the driveway, but around 1 a.m., the van pulled in. I quickly shut my laptop and watched. Nothing happened for a good several minutes, like the van just sat there, engine running and all. After about 5 minutes, the driver door opened, and there he was. I watched as he went around to the side of the van, then slid the door open and pulled out the same bag that he had put in the night before. He seemed to be struggling this time around, visibly trying not to crack under the weight of whatever was in there. After waddling a few slow steps, both he and the bag disappeared into his house. I didn't know what to think. I thought about waiting there until 5 a.m. again, but that would be far too taxing on my brain. Something was definitely wrong, though, and I was determined to find out what. The next morning, I flipped a coin and ultimately decided to follow his van when he pulled out that night. After a pretty unproductive day, I went up to my balcony around 4 a.m. and waited, cigarette in hand. As soon as I saw movement in his driveway, I rushed downstairs, grabbed my keys, and got in my car. I turned my headlights off and waited for the van to turn onto the main road. Once it did, I began tailing it. After 20 minutes of driving, he pulled onto a dirt path that looked like it led into the woods. It did. I followed, and the woods actually started thinning up a bit. It seemed like this path had once been a main road or something. We drove for another few minutes before I realized what his destination was. There was a deserted gas station literally tucked away in some clearing in the woods, and right in front of it was the BMW I had always seen parked in his driveway. I feared I was getting too close, so I turned my car around and parked across the street from the dirt road. I must have waited there an hour. His BMW finally pulled out of the clearing. Nervously, I started driving back up the path, not sure what I'd find. I pulled over on the side of the road and started walking towards the gas station. was eerie. The front door was locked. I walked around to the side. That was locked as well. So was the back door. I needed to know what was inside. There was a row of windows that I tried to open, but none of them would budge. Against my better judgment, I picked up a rock and slammed it into one of the windows. It shattered pretty easily, but there must have been a security system in that place because alarm bells started blaring. I sprinted back to my car, the whole time wondering why an abandoned gas station would be rigged with an alarm system. As I sped out of there, I called 911 and gave them a vague description before hanging up. I got back to my house and ran inside, my heart still racing. The next morning, I woke up hoping the whole thing had blown over. Boy, was I wrong. I went up to my balcony to see like 8 police cars in my neighbor's driveway, lights flashing and everything. I watched as an officer escorted my neighbor out of his house in handcuffs. One by one, the police cars drove away and I was left to my imagination. I lit a cigarette and stood there, finally alone with my thoughts. I've asked the police for details on several occasions, but they would never answer my questions. I've even tried driving back up to that gas station, but the whole road had been blocked off. Maybe one day I'll work up the courage to walk through the woods and go looking for answers. I'm not somebody who grew up with any kind of sleep disorder, such as sleep paralysis or night terrors. I've always been a very heavy sleeper, so that's why when what I'm about to tell you started happening, it was a shock to me. We all have the occasional nightmare. I used to call nightmares a free, 3D immersive horror movie. To most, that will probably sound freakish, but in a weird way, I sometimes like the thrill of waking up after a nightmare. I was living with my one roommate, Patricia. I just called her Trish. We had very different schedules with work, so we didn't see each other much besides on the weekends. This happened in July. I remember because it was so hot out that I had the window AC unit on full blast every night, which also provided a white noise that helped me sleep better. It was the first night that I had the nightmare, a few days after my ex and I had broken up and life wasn't exactly the best. I had a dream that I vaguely remember for the most part, but the part that I vividly remember is being in a room full of my family members sitting quietly around a dinner table, and standing across the table from me was what I could best describe to be a creature that looked like one of the aliens from the movie Signs, only with horns and claws. It looked like what you'd imagine a sleep paralysis demon to look like, only I was still fully asleep and dreaming. The next thing I knew, the thing was standing next to me, looking down at me. I started to run away in my dream until I was in my room, or I guess my brain's version of my room. That was the last of that dream I remember before waking up. My room was pitch black and the AC fan was on full blast. My heart was racing a bit from the dream, and I sat there thinking, wow, that was a creepy dream. I looked around the room naturally before laying back down and going to sleep. The following night, I woke up in the middle of the night to my bedroom door open, which I usually 99% of the time would leave shut unless I was drinking. My immediate thought was that it was Trish checking if I was home. I went up to go shut it and went back to sleep fairly quickly. I asked Trish if she came in my room the next day via text, and she told me she did not. So it was always possible I just took a midnight trip to the bathroom or kitchen that I didn't remember. It was the following night that I had another nightmare. That same demon creature from my previous dream appeared again in this one. This one was a lot more disturbing. Instead of being with my family, I was in a dark, square, empty room with the thing, and it kept getting closer to me. Oddly, I don't remember the thing actually moving its limbs to walk. I just remember that it kept getting closer and closer until it was on top of me. And then, like I couldn't even move, the thing took a claw to my thigh and scratched me, and I actually think I felt the pain in my dream. Then, the next thing I remember is waking up. I don't mean I woke up right after that. I mean I don't remember what happened after that in the dream. But it was dark in the room once again, AC on full blast. I felt a slight stinging feeling on my upper thigh. I felt it with my hand, and I actually felt like I felt something on the skin. I rushed to the bathroom and looked in the mirror, and I screamed out loud when I saw a gash in my thigh. I went to Trish's room and turned on the light, waking her up. She asked how the fuck I got that, and I screamed, "I don't know." We went to my room together and flipped off all the sheets and covers off the bed, looking for any kinds of bugs or spiders or any sharp object I could have laid down on, which, yes, I understand makes no sense, but what else were we to think? Trish then looked at me and said, "Wait," and put her finger to her lip. She turned off my AC unit, and for the first time in days, the room went quiet. It all became sickeningly clear in an instant, as we both heard a sound from under my bed. The kind of faint sound that you sense from another person just existing in the room. I'm impressed at both of our ability to not scream right on the spot as we both looked at the bed and then at each other and then left the room and then the apartment. We knocked on the neighboring apartment door until he answered. We asked him for help. Someone was in our apartment. He was an older guy, so I don't think we expected him to go fight some stranger in our apartment. He let us use his phone to call 911. At some point while waiting for the police, we heard a door outside slam shut. It sounded like our door. None of us could look out the window in time to see who it was. When the police got there, we confirmed the intruder was gone. We did leave all the lights on in the apartment when we ran away, though, and left in a rather sudden fashion, so the intruder definitely knew that we knew. And then came the reflection I had of my dreams and what they actually meant. That demon in my dreams was supposed to be him, even in the first dream. And with my door being open that night, that means he or she may have been roaming around our apartment at night, possibly eating our food. And to think this person actually scratched my thigh so hard it left a mark, it's actually really disturbing to think about. This forever changed my outlook on dreams and nightmares. This happened when I was a little kid living in our old house in Suffolk County, Long Island. I'm gonna say I was about 6 or 7 years old. My older brother and I shared a bedroom on the top floor that used to be a separate apartment that my dad rented out to an old lady, but she moved out, and so the upstairs was mainly for my older brother and I at that point. The layout was as follows. At the top of the stairs, on the left was our bedroom, which used to be the old woman's living room. Straight ahead was the bathroom, and to the right was an extra kitchen and a small bedroom. We had a million toys in our room, as the room itself was huge, and it also had 2 parallel crawl-in closets on opposite sides of the room where we stored a million other toys and board games and stuff like that. There was one toy, though, a race car with a bunch of buttons on it. The buttons would make the car's lights turn on momentarily and play varying sound effects such as honking, revving, and driving sounds, and a little rock song. It was a toy we had for, like, ever, because it was originally a gift from my brother when he was a little younger. It was a random night. My brother and I were both in bed, not yet asleep, when suddenly, like a jump scare from a scary movie, the loud revving sound of that car toy suddenly activated, along with the lights of the car in the middle of the room. I looked at the car and instantly got scared and accused my brother Luke of doing that to scare me. He was laughing hysterically, saying he didn't do it. I was completely terrified. The toy then stopped making noises and went quiet. I was extremely unsettled, as any little kid would be, but nevertheless, time marched on and I fell asleep. It wasn't for a while until something else happened. One night, when Luke and I were both in bed again, we both heard a weird thud in the room. Luke insisted on trying to creep me out, saying there was a ghost in the room or something, and I kept yelling at him to shut up or I'd get Mom. He kept laughing until we both noticed a light in the corner of the room. It was the toy car again. I got out from the bed and ran straight down the stairs yelling for my mom. I got to my parents' room and yelled there's something in our room. I'm sure I gave a little 7-year-old spiel about how there's a ghost in the room, hearing a thud and the lights on the toy car turning on. Luke entered the room, and my mom defaulted to telling him to knock it off if he's trying to scare me. He said how could he turn the lights of the car on from his bed? I slept in my parents' room that night because I was too scared to sleep upstairs. It was a long while after that night and nothing happened. Not until one night, Luke was not in the room. My guess is he was having a sleepover with one of his many friends. I was sleeping in the room by myself that night. I had long since tucked that car away in the small bedroom across the hall because it freaked me out. After my mom kissed me goodnight, I asked her to keep the door open since I was always scared when I was alone in the room. I rolled on my side and tried to go to sleep. But being that I was scared of being alone, I had a hard time getting tired that night. I felt wide awake. Then, there was a sound I can't explain that came from down the hall. I flipped over to face the door, and the toy car rolled into the room with its lights on. I let out a scream straight from the bottom of my stomach as I cried for my mom and pressed my body up against the wall. Moments later, my parents both came up the stairs into the room, noticing the car on the floor. I screamed that someone pushed the car into the room. My dad went to go check the other rooms, but said there was no one there. There weren't any places to hide up there besides the closets and under the beds, and my dad checked all of them. I don't know what my parents thought in that moment. On one hand, they probably thought the toy was malfunctioning or it's just my imagination. But on the other hand, I think they were also slightly freaked out. That toy car didn't have a feature to move on its own. My dad smashed the toy and threw it in the neighbor's trash to make me feel better. I slept in their room for a while until my dad forced me back upstairs eventually. This story is the reason why I believe in the paranormal and something after death.